now. Just in case you didn't get my email this morning, this is what I wrote. Dear all, further our church meeting on Tuesday, I can confirm that all three nominees were duly elected. Therefore, David Goodall, Gareth Jenkins and Beryl King now join Tim Dennis, Matt Clark, Norman Edwards, Judy Shaw and Sean Tomling as trustees and deacons at TBC. Please pray for all of these good and godly people as they diligently seek to love and serve God and love and serve the church and community. Ruth. So that's good, isn't it? I'm glad somebody thinks so. Thank you. So that's brilliant. And we would all appreciate your prayers at this time as we get used to a new team and as we seek to continue to try and put what's happening in Scripture in around into practice. Now, I've struggled with this passage because I haven't ever been in a community where what is practiced in Acts 2 and 4 is a reality. I've read about it, but I haven't experienced it itself. And many people, I don't know if you've come across the same thing, think actually what is described in Acts 2 and 4 is communism. Communism, a theory or system of social organisation in which all property is owned by the community and each person contributes and receives according to their ability and needs. And many people at first glance think that's what Luke is describing, where property is owned by the community and each person gives and receives according to their ability. However, if you notice from the reading, the giving up of property and possessions is entirely voluntary. And I'm not sure that was always the case and is always the case in communism. Not what we see in practice, where actually in reality the state becomes the owner. I found this cartoon on the net. Communism, you have two cows, the state takes both and gives you some milk. And that has been the reality for many people. The theory is honourable, but rarely is it worked out that way because we find it, as humans, really hard to let go. So how did the early church achieve this seeming utopian community where there was no needy person among them? Well, simply put, it was an act of God. We cannot do it on our own. It isn't communism that's described in Acts 2 and 4. It's true Christian community, lived in dependence on God and interdependence of one another, forged in the Spirit, renewed through prayer and teaching and communion, being and eating together, knowing each other's needs and meeting them in ever-widening circles. If you noticed, the church grew to 3,000 from 120 to 3,000 in one day. That takes some ever-widening circles of increase. So the community life that we read of in Acts 2 is directly birthed from the day of Pentecost that Astrid described so well last week. The followers of Jesus turned from their oneness to drawing those currently outside the other into this amazing ongoing story and ministry of Jesus. I'm on the next page if you'd like, David. When the people heard Peter's sermon on that day, they were cut to the heart. They said, "What shall we do?" So the first step towards enjoying a Christian community is a personal response to Jesus, to who he is and what he has done. Peter goes through who he is and what he's done, his Lord and Messiah. It's worth asking ourselves, even if we've been coming week in, week out, what is my heart response to Jesus? Now, today, does he touch my heart? Does the fact he's Lord and Messiah affect how I live? Perhaps we're not like that church that was birthed in Pentecost because we're not cut to the heart about who Jesus is. The people on that day knew they had to change in the light of who Jesus is and what he had done. What shall we do? Peter wasted no time in telling them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. For people to enjoy Christian community, there has to be a change in the way that we think, in our attitudes and our lifestyle. We have to turn around. We have to rethink, which is exactly what repentance means. For life to be lived as God intends, we have to be cut to the heart. We have to acknowledge the kingship of Jesus and then change as a result of that. To give up our independence, our right to mine, and ask Jesus to help us live as he lived. This is old hat to so many of us. Perhaps the reason we are experiencing a negative budget as a church at the moment is the fact that maybe we need to remember that repentance isn't a once-off thing. It's not a once-off occurrence, but daily, maybe even half daily, we need to come back and change and turn, because we so easily slip into old ways of thinking, old habits. We need to repent again, to turn again, to change again, with the fact that Jesus is Lord and Messiah may not yet have hit our hearts or our wallets or our bank balances. Lastly, to be the inclusive, need-fulfilling acts to community, it happens because they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our default nature, or mine is anyway, is to be selfish and to hold on to what is mine, what I consider is mine anyway. God's default nature, in contrast, is to love and to give. As Tim so beautifully put it, he extravagantly lavishes his love and care on us, sweeping the sky with beauty. So we need his Spirit. Remember what I said a few days ago, God is one. So if we have his Spirit in him, we have God, Father, Son, and Spirit within us, his character, changing us, transforming us, comforting us, challenging us, so that we too can be God-like, generous, extravagantly so. So the Acts 2 community comes into being directly as a response of understanding and accepting that Jesus is Lord and Messiah. And this is shown in repentance and in baptism and acceptance of the forgiveness and mercy of God and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. So what did this new birthed community look and behave like? Firstly, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. I am so grateful for this passage. Because so often it's thought my responsibility, the minister's responsibility, the leadership responsibility, the house group leader's responsibility to ensure folks learn about Jesus. Come to church. Keep coming to church. But actually, the only person responsible for your personal walk with God is you. It's you. It's your responsibility to nurture and feed and encourage the work that God has started in you when you accepted Jesus as Lord. And these passages show it's best done within community. It was the new believers that devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to meeting together, to breaking bread, which is both communion, as we would understand it, but also sharing meals, and also to prayer. As a church, we will hopefully ensure that we create a place of welcome, a place of hospitality, and provide helpful forums for learning, for prayer, and for discipleship. But the impetus and drive for growth should come from each and every one of us. So they were passionate about learning about Jesus. As Astrid said so well last week, the new believers came to faith through hearing the wonders of God in a way that they could really understand, in their mother tongue, in a way that they could receive. And they also heard a very clear explanation of the person, life, and work of Jesus from Peter. They knew that what they saw and heard on that day was not of human origin. These were uneducated, monosyllabic fishermen who they knew had been a bit wavery up to this point. And they saw the transformation in these people. They heard about the wonders of God and they hungered for more. Healings and signs and wonders were expected and normal for this new community. I'm going to have to take some water, excuse me. Bear with. Thank you to whoever provided that for me. I'm grateful. More and more, I'm hearing folks at TBC asking, how can we experience more of the reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives? How can we experience more within our worship? Astrid spoke last week of the fact that it is a work of the Spirit to turn us outwards towards the other. This passage also shows it's a work of the Spirit to challenge individuals to turn their lives round to Jesus and accept his kingship and forgiveness. But it was also a daily occurrence to see and experience signs and wonders. This morning I have prayed with someone for healing. Lord, may it happen. We long to see healing happen here. And maybe if we follow the three steps, maybe if we devote ourselves to learning about Jesus, to meeting up, to communion and prayer, we too will be filled with awe and wonder and expectation and see much more of this reality. Isn't that our prayer? Can I have a whoop? You're very quiet. Spirit tends to be a bit noisy. We need to work on that. And if all these things we've thought about so far are in place, it enables a community where there is no need, where there is close, interdependent relationships, where meals and homes and possessions are freely shared, where all the believers are together and have everything in common. That becomes a reality when those steps, when the Holy Spirit, when the awe come together. Is this what you'd love to experience? Or does it actually fill you with dread? Note your response to this and we'll come back. Because I want to put a slight reality check on here to underline that living in this way is not easy to maintain. If you read on in Acts, very quickly structures had to be put in place in the early church to ensure that everyone in need actually was being seen to, did have food. It was the Greek widows who initially were overlooked. So the church had to put in a structure. They actually called the first deacons to iron out the administration. It is achievable, but it requires steps 1 to 3. It requires the patterns of behaviour to be a daily reality and the leadership to ensure that structures are in place to fit the size of community and its growth to ensure that it's maintained. You can imagine what is necessary if we're going to go from this to this. We will have to change structures. We will have to change. But we will still have to be passionate about learning. We will still have to keep saying Jesus is Lord. We will still have to keep turning and put these things in place. Indeed, a bit later, Paul has a word with the Corinthians about some folks feasting whilst others went without. And again in Thessalonica, when some folks were freeloading, were idle, not working. So maintaining this everything in common needs structure and accountability, but is surely how God intended it to be from the beginning when he made us responsible for the stewardship, for the sharing of the whole of earth's resources. Surely this is what Jesus envisaged when he said that his followers would be known by the love they show for one another. Before we go on to explore how this passage may impact us today, I want to remind us of the context of those two descriptions in 2 and 4. As we said, Acts 2, which shows that this all-inclusive, all-sharing community was birthed at Pentecost. As we said earlier, it was a direct result of the work of the Spirit, of healing, of hearing the wonders of God in our own language, of the clear and direct teaching about Jesus. Please can we make this a matter of prayer? that God will pour out his Spirit on us, enable each one of us to speak in ways that folks outside this church will understand. And enable each one of us who have spent time with Jesus, because that's what the apostles were, people who have spent time with Jesus, who are witnesses to his love and his grace, to speak clearly and directly about him, so that we can be founder members of another Acts-like community, growing inclusive with all things in common. The second passage in Acts 4 describes the early church community coming directly after Peter and John were released from a night in jail and told on no uncertain terms never to speak in the name of Jesus again. How would you react after a night like that? Imprisoned, threatened, and their response? Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will have decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Wow. What a response to being in prison. Help us to speak even more boldly in the name that we've been threatened not to mention. This has been ordained. Authorities don't like the Anointed One, but enable us to speak with boldness. Unsurprisingly, after this prayer, the place rocked with the Holy Spirit, and their prayers were answered. They spoke the word of God boldly. These folks in Acts accepted that following Jesus comes resistance, imprisonment, threats, taken on the chin. They had seen Jesus executed, but now they knew that death was not the end, but a new beginning. Resistance had been flagged up as a reality throughout the Old Testament. Jesus taught them about it. They accepted it as normal, even a privilege. And they asked for the strength to continue. This is another thing perhaps we need to reflect and consider. As resistance to Jesus and the gospel was actually the crucible for this amazing community. We don't like it. It's perhaps not normative for us, but it is normative for such a community. So how does TBC change from being what we are now to a community where there are no needs among us, where everything is in common? Well, firstly, each one of us needs to ask God by his Spirit to fill us, to remind us that Jesus is Lord and Messiah, to enable us to turn around and change and keep changing, to speak his wonders in ways to those outside understand, to heal, to show power in signs of wonders. And we need to keep praying this, living this, until it becomes a daily reality. Secondly, each of us needs to devote ourselves to learning about Jesus. At home, in small groups, at church, there are really good books that can help us with this. There are very good radio stations. There are so many aids. Small groups are fantastic for it, and hopefully what we do in church helps too. It needs to be our priority to meet together here and in our homes, to intentionally nurture deep, close friendships with one another over meals, over coffee, over bread and wine. Thirdly, in order to create this inclusive, welcoming community that draws the other in, we need to pray for boldness, for healing, for signs and wonders. Last week, Astrid asked us, don't we want to see transformation in our lives, in the lives of those around? Maybe we can need to continue to pray through this question. asking God to help us to see our neighbours with his eyes, asking him for the courage to speak, to bring healing, for signs and wonders of the reality of his kingdom. And this will not happen without prayer. It won't happen without our full cooperation. God never forces himself on anyone. He woos, he calls, but he never forces. So let's commit to praying about these things this week. And lastly, this is where the rubber really hits the road and our bank balances. Because for there to be no need in our community, we will need to have a sea change in our attitude to our homes and our possessions, our money, our time and our commitments. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that all... I'll say that again. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. In both passages, they all had everything in common, and individuals opened their homes. The proceeds from the sales and the gifts were given to the apostles. We talks about Barnabas selling a field. He may still have four more. It's up to him to decide to sell. It is his property. But he gives the money to the apostles, the leaders, to distribute. And this remains good practice, as bringing resources together enables those with the responsibility for the whole community to decide how to meet those most in need, how to administer the gifts, rather than individuals responding to individuals. There's a new TV program coming up called Free Ride. It's about to hit our screens with James Lavelle and Rob Greenfield being set the challenge of traveling 7,000 miles across 7 countries in South America with no money. They have no money, they have no wallet, they have no access to phones. And they were able to do this. People gave them surplus food. People gave them rides. I'm going in that way. Come this way. We have a bed. Come and join us. It happened in South America. So James thought, well, will that happen in Britain? Will people be generous and kind here? So he decided he was going to go around Britain. And he did it very quickly because people gave him money and he was able to get on buses and trains. We Brits are much more inclined to hand over cash and give of ourselves and our homes and our stuff. The giving of money is fundamental to living as an Acts 2:4 community, but it needs to extend further. Remember, they had everything in common. And this is such a challenge to us. Well, it is to me anyway. We're so used to having our own possessions, for taking responsibility for them, for making our own decisions for where and how we live. What in the list above would you find most challenging? What's most important? What's most easy? You may be surprised to see things like justice and freedom. I long for women in other parts of the world to be able to drive cars, to be able to dress in ways that they would choose, to not be continually raped. I would love them to experience justice and freedom. And we need to work out how others in the world can experience the same freedom and justice we enjoy. Let's look at this list and ask God by his Spirit to show us where we hold on tightest, where we need his grace and his power to help us let go. Then let it start to impact our lives as individuals and this church community. Let's follow the steps. Let's follow the patterns of behavior. Let us open our hearts, our larders, our wardrobes, our homes, and our bank balances. Let's make Matt's day and put money at the disposal of the church for those in need. And let us make time to pray together and discuss in our house groups as a leadership team and church meetings as to how we may put things in place to help us become more and more a community where we're of one heart and mind, where we have everything in common and there is no needy person among us. One caveat I haven't written here is they were glad. They did it with thankful hearts, praising God. Again, we need the Spirit in us. If we give grudgingly, that's no good at all. We have to give out of the goodness that God has given us. We're not here yet. But God, with his power and his grace, can help us become more and more like the community he would have us be. Let's pause.